Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to start off our message this morning with a one-question quiz, a riddle of sorts. What do Michael Jackson, the singer, Mike Tyson, the boxer, MC Hammer, the rapper, Allen Iverson, the basketball player, Kim Basinger, the actress, Willie Nelson, the country singer, Burt Reynolds, the actor, Tony Braxton, the pop singer, Gary Coleman, child actor, Zsa Zsa Gabor, I'm not sure what she is, just a famous person, Don Johnson, the actor, Wayne Newton, the entertainer, and Mickey Rooney, actor, all have in common? Answer: they're all people who have made millions of dollars who have also had to declare bankruptcy. Please, somebody, tell me how Mike Tyson, once the most feared and probably the richest boxer in the world, who made some $400 million, could only years later have a mere $700 to his name. MC Hammer, arguably the biggest name in rap music back in the early 90s, earned more than $30 million in just a few years. But after purchasing a $12 million mansion, employing a paid staff of some 200 people, and supporting a 40-person entourage, he too had to file for bankruptcy. The starting minimum salary in the NFL is somewhere over $300,000 a year. And that's just the minimum for the players you probably don't know much about. For a first or a second round draft pick, the average yearly salaries are in the millions. And yet Sports Illustrated has reported that some 78% of NFL players are either bankrupt or are in serious financial stress within 2 years of retiring from the NFL. In the NBA, that same fate awaits 60% of the players within 5 years of retiring. What's going on here? How do all these wealthy people lose so much so quickly? The answer to these questions rests in the words of our text this morning, words from the preacher of Ecclesiastes. He wrote these words: "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income." If what you love in life and what brings you joy and fulfillment in life is money, and those things that money can buy, then you will never be completely fulfilled or completely content. You will always want more. Enough never will be. And thus, the constant parade of bankruptcy filings by once very wealthy people. They constantly wanted more. And their insatiable appetite for more stuff could not be satisfied by their limited, though very extensive, resources. The bankruptcy issue for many people, and most certainly for rich people, is not a problem in regards to how much they make, but in regards to how much they spend. It's not an earning issue. It's a spending issue. And it's generally not really even a financial issue, as much as it is as a psychological and emotional issue, and yes, also a spiritual issue. For you see, a person who is content with who he is and what he has done doesn't need to spend and to purchase and to acquire and to own in order to feel good about himself, in order to find fulfillment. A man at age 50 who is content with his life doesn't need to go out and buy a red Corvette to make him feel younger again. He doesn't need to cheat on his wife in order to feel macho and strong and desirable again. And he doesn't need to try and impress others to feel like a success. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said these words, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Those are words that ought to be drilled into the head of every college athlete who has been drafted into the pros. Those are words that ought to be taught in every business school across America. Those are words that every Christian in our society should be reminded of on a regular basis. You and your life are not the sum total of what you have earned and what you now have and own. You, by the blood of Jesus, are and are worth so much more than that. The great apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him, namely Jesus, who gives me strength." Paul learned that contentment in life is not about what one has or about what one has done, but rather it's about being in a relationship with the one who created us, with the relationship with the one who died for us and who rose for us. He learned that when one knows Christ Jesus as one's Lord and Savior, that nothing else is ever needed to bring about one's salvation and satisfaction. And also that when one doesn't know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, nothing else can bring about that salvation or that satisfaction. Apart from faith in Christ, the life that we live, as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, the life that we live is simply vanity. Because no matter how seemingly wonderful and full of stuff your life may be, you're still going to die. And in death, none of any of it matters. There's only one thing that matters in death, and that's your relationship with Jesus. For only Jesus can give us that life that extends beyond death, because only Jesus has gone to the cross and into the tomb and out of the tomb to forgive us and to give us that gift of life. But you know, that's not our only reason for finding contentment in Christ. It's not only about our future life in eternity that we're going to have someday after the resurrection. Our contentment of life in Christ is also about here and now. For when one is in Christ, connected to him through faith, one is connected to an endless and limitless source of power and joy and love and forgiveness and mercy and peace and courage and grace and all those other things that are part of God. Because Jesus is all that. To be connected to Jesus through faith is to be plugged into the Almighty God of the universe. It's to be plugged into and connected to the Creator, the Redeemer, the Alpha and the Omega, the Holy One of Israel, the Great I Am, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. And when one is plugged into and connected to that, how can one not be content with one's life? When a person knows Jesus and has Jesus living in one's heart, what more do you possibly need? What more could you possibly want? The love of money is a dangerous thing. Paul calls it a root of all kinds of evil. Says that it can put your very salvation at risk. Solomon said that a person who loves money will never be satisfied with it, with what he has, because he's always going to want more. And Jesus warned that a man who builds his life upon his possessions builds upon a foundation that ultimately can always and only end in futility and in death. The scriptures are abundantly clear on this point. Enough is never enough when it comes to the love of money. The only thing that can satisfy one's heart and give one's life fulfillment and joy and make it full is Jesus. The duty and the meaning and the purpose of life is only to be found in knowing and serving Him. To live life any other way and to search any other place for contentment and peace is to live and to die as a fool. For what good is it if a person gains the whole world and yet forfeits his eternal life with God? Scripture says this is how it will be for anyone who is rich in the things of this world and yet who is not rich toward God. May we each, always and only, find our satisfaction in Jesus, the one who died and the one who rose for us. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.